like to welcome His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj. His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Swami Maharaj. Descending from Vrindavan Dham, Sarvabhauma Prabhu. Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, His Holiness, was born and raised here in this area of Sri Jagannath Puri Dham. He's been coming to Rath Yatras and having the darshans of Jagannath since his infancy. And now, being connected by the divine grace of our beloved Srila Prabhupada, he is sharing the glories of Jagannath's mercy and Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission throughout all the world. Tomorrow morning, Shripad Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj will be giving us the class. Hare Krishna. Most all of our great acharyas came to Puri to worship Lord Jagannath. Sripad Ramanujacharya, he established a math here. Sripad Madhvacharya came here to worship Jagannath. Sripad Vishnu Swami Nimbarkacharya, Sripad Balabhacharya, Sripad Shankaracharya, even Jains and Buddhists, even worshippers of demigods, somehow they all see Jagannath as their Lord. Jagannath can be interpreted in so many ways. He's appeared in that way. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Jagannath himself, revealed the deepest, highest, and most intimate revelation of Jagannath. And he especially manifested that during his Rath Yatra. The associates of Lord Chaitanya, many of them were avatars or intimate associates of the Lord from the spiritual world who had descended into this world in this age of Kali. And almost all of them assembled here in Jagannath Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna in one form. Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani. Swarup Damodar Lalita Sakhi. Sri Ramananda Rai is Vishaka. Srila Haridas Thakur Brahma. Paramananda Puri Uddhav. All these great personalities Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's Brihaspati. Sri Radha's intimate associates came and resided here for some times. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Baladev, Hare Krishna. They all came and assembled here in Jagannath Puri. It's all right, let's use it. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he was transformed to recognize and understand the he was one of the greatest of the scholars of the world. But it was here in Puri that his heart was transformed to surrender to the path of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had his bhakti kuti, his ashram here in Jagannath Puri. He was stationed here as a government servant and was overseeing the affairs of Jagannath's temple. What a great devotee of Jagannath Bhaktivinoda Thakur was. He prayed to Lord Jagannath, to Krishna, that a ray of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, would descend into this world as his son to assist in carrying out the Sankirtan movement of Lord Gauranga. And through his deep devotion, his prayers were fulfilled. And it was here, in this great holy place of Sri Puri Dham, that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada was born. His birthplace is right on the Grand Road, the main street where the Rath Yatra takes place. And it was during the Rath Yatra ceremony that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife carried the little baby child, Bimala Prasad, who's named after a consort of Jagannath, brought him up to the chariot. And a garland fell from Jagannath just as the little baby was reaching out to touch his feet and encircled his body. Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew for sure that the divine associate of the Lord that he had been praying for had descended into the world. And he spent his early childhood here. And our own beloved founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada, he tells us from his earliest childhood, he always dreamed of coming to Jagannath Puri. He would ask his parents to bring him to Puri. A little later, he would create Rath Yatras. As a small child, in the little back lanes of Calcutta, he used to go to the railway station to see what times the trains would leave for Puri. He had the schedule. He had it memorized. What is the fare? When do the trains leave? That is how much he held this place sacred for his whole life. And beginning I believe it was 1967, Srila Prabhupada, just a year and a half after he had come to America, he established the first Rath Yatra in San Francisco. And he renamed San Francisco New Jagannath Puri. I think that's the first place he actually named like that, because 26 Second Avenue was New York, so it was already kind of a new place. But the second center was Puri, and he named it New Jagannath Puri. So by his divine grace, and through Srila Prabhupada to us, the blessings and the grace of all of these previous acharyas, avatars, and Sri Jagannath himself has given us the opportunity to be here. We were describing how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transformed the heart of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And it's so fascinating how he did it. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a world-class master at scholarship, scriptural study, teaching, and debate. And he had great sannyasis and great scholars coming to learn from him. He had the king endorsing him as the scholar of the world. How do you preach to someone like that? But as we explained this morning, Lord Chaitanya, Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyo vidanta krit veda vedeva chaham. He himself declares in Bhagavad Gita that I am the knower of the Vedas, I am the compiler of the Vedas and Vedanta, and by all the Vedas I am to be known. But still, to Sarvabhauma he humbled himself. You are my guru, Lord Chaitanya said. Please protect me from Maya. Instruct me. And then he sat and listened for 7 days. And Sarvabhauma was a gentleman. Because Lord Chaitanya listened to him for 7 days, he was obliged to listen to Lord Chaitanya. And when he did, he realized all that he had learned was misdirected. It was missing the essence. He had lost the understanding of what the goal is. Siddhanta means the conclusion, the goal of all knowledge. Conclusive truths. This is the way Maya likes to delude people, by distracting us away from what is really important in life. To materialistic people, birth after birth after birth, she just keeps entangling us with so many challenges, attachments, fears, obstacles, concerns, attractions, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Human life actually begins when we inquire into the Absolute Truth. In Varanasi, Sanatan Goswami, he's our Sambandha Guru. But a guru shows by example how to be a disciple. He asks Lord Chaitanya these simple, basic, most essential questions of life. Who am I? Who is God? What is this world around me? What is my relationship with this world? Why am I suffering these threefold miseries of material existence? And what is the way out of this suffering? And Sanatana Goswami said, although people are calling me a big, great scholar, I don't even know the answers to these questions, yet I believe them. With all sincerity, he was appealing to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to enlighten him. And Lord Chaitanya said to Sanatana Goswami, you are fit to be my guru. You know everything, but for the sake of strictness and culture, you are asking these questions. But Sanatana Goswami didn't feel like that. So when we actually, sincerely feel, not just out of inquisitiveness, not just as a matter of study, not as an academic profession, with a deep yearning in the heart, with a desperate feel of need when we ask these questions, like Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed to die and he was sitting under a banyan tree on the banks of the river Ganga. Like Arjuna, when he was bewildered and perplexed between two massive armies at the brink of a war. This is the spirit that we should feel a need to understand. What is the goal of life? Why am I here? And when we deeply desire to know, that's when human life actually begins. Because that's the unique quality of a human being. We have the power not only to ask these questions, but to understand and realize that we're not this body. There's a higher purpose than all sorts of sophisticated ways of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That we are eternal souls, we are part of God, we have a relationship with God, and we are beyond birth and death when we realize that to love Krishna is the only goal of life. It is the Sanatan Dharma. It is our constitutional position. But Maya is so powerful that even when we come to the path of devotional service, even after studying so many scriptures and learning them and even speaking from them, even sometimes after renouncing wealth, sensual enjoyment, still, Maya is right there to distract us from the goal. And we get caught up in such petty, superficial little things, and we become so agitated by them. Or we become so eager,
hankering for them. Envy, greed, pratishta, desire for recognition, fame. Desire, again, for sensual enjoyments. They're always going to be there. Maya will never give up at whatever stage of Krishna consciousness you're at. But when you surrender to Krishna, Krishna protects you. And ultimately, Maya bows her head as your maidservant. But don't think she's done that yet. She may pretend to do that. We may think, oh yes, now Maya is bowing her head with folded palms as my maidservants, as the scripture says. But it could be another one of her deceiving tricks, so that you have a little faith in her. Yes, she's here as my maidservant. Like Mantra, Kaikeyi's maidservant. To fill us somehow or other with envy of God and God's devotees. So our sadhana and our satsang is a very, very important part of our life because it keeps us focused on what is our goal. Why are we chanting japa? Why are we reading Srimad Bhagavatam? Why are we coming to the Mangalarti and doing our pujas? Why are we coming for yatras? We could be doing all these things for the wrong purpose. It's very important that we have to keep reminding each other, and we have to be very sincere. Because trying to become Krishna conscious in the material world in the age of Kali is like swimming upstream in a very forceful river. You can't just decide, well, I've been swimming upstream for a while. I'm just going to rest and stay where I am for a while. You can't do that. If you stop the progress going up, you're pushed down. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu are so kind. Parama karuna pahundui jana nithai gaura chandra tava avatara sarasiromani kevala ananda kanda. They are supremely merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations, and they have made the path of perfection joyful. Chanting, dancing, feasting. But we need the association of advanced devotees, like-minded, serious devotees, to keep our focus intact. And that is one of the reasons we come on these yatras. To fill our consciousness with such an experience of what is my purpose in life. By hearing about the Lord's pastimes, by hearing about the great Acharya's pastimes, by hearing the philosophy of the Lord, by going to these holy places which are saturated and surcharged with grace. When you go to Siddha Bakula, That is the place that Haridas Thakur would sit to chant 300,000 names of Krishna every single day. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come out of Jagannath's temple every day. He is Jagannath himself, to spend several hours with Haridas Thakur, chanting and discussing Krishna, sharing prasad. When Rupa Goswami, when Sanatan Goswami came to Puri, of all the places in this holy dham, they specifically and exclusively would stay with Haridas Thakur. And it's not that he had the best, most luxurious facilities. He didn't have anything. He was too busy chanting Hare Krishna to do anything else. He just had a little thatched hut. He didn't have a beautiful guest house. But that's where they wanted to stay. They weren't concerned with luxuries. They were concerned with association. And because they were with Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come and see them every day. If we're in the association of those who the Lord loves, that's the closest we can be to Krishna, because Krishna's with them. We should be so grateful when we come to these holy places on pilgrimage. We should be, our minds and our hearts should become like sponges, just absorbing, absorbing, and absorbing. Utsaha, enthusiasm, eagerness, is one of the great qualities that make Krishna's grace accessible. Rupa Goswami told that you cannot get love for Krishna by any amount of tapasya, by any amount of academic learning. It's only possible through intense eagerness to get it. Intense eagerness that nothing else in life is really worth anything if I don't love Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains all our accomplishments, even in the name of spiritual life, what to speak of material things, are like so many zeros without a one in front. All our zeros have no value at all. And what is that one? Our enthusiasm, our eagerness to serve Krishna, to love Krishna, that makes everything else transcendentally precious. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Puri, he was seeing Krishna everywhere. That was his absorption. When he looked at the sea, he saw Yamuna River. When he looked at a sand dune, Chatak Parvat, he was seeing Govardhan Hill. On the sides of the road, of the grand road, when he was seeing the Jagannath Ballabha Gardens, he was seeing the beautiful forests of Vrindavan. And when he would stand beside Garuda Stamba, he would see Krishna, Shyam Sundar, playing upon his flute. One time it describes he was standing beside the Garuda Stamba, and it was a large crowd of people in the Jagan Mohan and the Kirtan and Darshan Hall. I'm so theoretical, I'm speaking about it. All of you have seen it, you've been there. I only imagine it according to what I read in the books. I don't know how big it is, but according to what I read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it seems really big. There were so many people scrambling to see Lord Jagannath. And this old, uneducated Odian woman, she was so eager to see Jagannath. And she was just too old to start fighting through all the crowds. So she, with incredible, intense enthusiasm, she climbed up the Garuda Stamba. And in the process, she put her foot on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder. One foot was on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder, the other was on the Garuda Stamba as she was up there, seeing the beautiful lotus eyes of Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya's personal assistant, Govinda, who was a disciple of Ishwara Puri, he couldn't tolerate seeing this. What kind of an aparad? She's putting her feet on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya, and she's putting her feet on Garuda, the Lord's great servant. So he told her, you know, get down. And as soon as, she didn't even know she was doing that. As soon as she saw that her foot was on top of a sannyasi, she became extremely embarrassed, and she climbed down Lord Chaitanya's body, and she offered obeisances, begging forgiveness. Lord Chaitanya didn't chastise her. He chastised Govinda. He called him an adivas. He said, why have you disturbed this lady's meditation on Jagannath? She was so enthusiastic, so eager to see Jagannath, she didn't even know she was climbing on me. Why did you disturb her eagerness? And then as the lady was begging forgiveness with tears in her eyes, Lord Chaitanya was praying. He was praying to her and to Jagannath. Oh, Jagannath, please give me even a drop of the eagerness that this old lady has to see you. He was praying to this Odian lady. Please bless me with some of that eagerness that you have to see Jagannath. And Srila Prabhupada tells us that when the Lord or these great souls are speaking like this, it's not just like a dramatic performance on stage. It's what they feel. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, with the Mahabhava of Sri Radha. And she, Srimati Radharani, the very source of all love, is begging Krishna to have the enthusiasm of this simple, uneducated lady. That is how much the Lord is impressed by eagerness, enthusiasm. And when we have that enthusiasm, in the spirit of humility we are learning in this verse, the combination is very powerful. when we chant our japa, when we perform kirtan, when we read, when we hear in the lectures, when we're doing our seva, even when we're taking prasad. Here in Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very enthusiastic, not only about eating prasad, but serving prasad, every aspect of prasad. There's pages and pages and pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is simply glorifying prasad. With the same enthusiasm he glorifies Krishna's pastimes. Because prasad is Krishna's mercy. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would be very eager to serve prasad, and he was so eager to serve prasad here in Puri that his hand would hold no less than 15 people could eat. Now this was a problem, because they're all taking public prasad together and you don't want to leave massive amounts on your plate. And the Lord would take with his hand rice or sabji or whatever he was giving, Jagannath's special cakes with condensed milk. And every preparation he would put on would be more than what 5 people could eat. That's how enthusiastic it was. And Swarup Damodar Goswami would say, "My Lord, please, we will serve prasad because nobody will eat prasad before you. So you should sit down as a service to everyone else. You sit and eat because no one will take it before you." So Lord Chaitanya, he wouldn't just sit alone. He would bring Nityananda Prabhu, Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Parati, Brahmananda Puri, all these very, very great souls to sit with him. And even while he was eating prasad, he would be directing the servers. Because as the Paramatma in everyone's heart, if anybody had this, any inclination for any particular preparation, the Lord would know. He'd call out to Swarup Damodar Goswami, or Jagadananda Pandit was there, or Shankar Pandit was there. Kashishwar Pandit, a great servant of Ishwarapuri. The topmost devotees would be serving out the prasad. Give him sock. And then he would tell everybody, fill yourselves up to your neck. This is a profound concept, to eat food up to your neck. Because I'm not a doctor. We have Adi Keshav Prabhu, and we have Dwarkadish Prabhu, and so many doctors here, Kishori Devi. So they know all this anatomy of the human body. But as far as I know, you know, the stomach only kind of goes up half your torso. Is that correct? Adi Keshav Prabhu? Correct? About, stomach about up to here? But Lord Chaitanya is telling them to eat prasad up to their necks. How do you do that? Not down from your neck, up to your neck. That was his enthusiasm. You see, bhakti is a lot about bhav. It's not about literal physical manifestations. That's how much he wanted to serve the devotees, by filling them with Jagannath's mercy. And he was inspiring them to have that much enthusiasm to receive Jagannath's mercy. Because prasad means mercy, doesn't mean food. He's not encouraging us to overeat. The spirit of what he's saying is that is how we should be enthusiastic to receive mercy. And yayatamam prapadyante tamsta taiva bhajamya. Krishna reciprocates according to our surrender, according to our spirit to serve, our spirit to please, our enthusiasm to hear and chant for the pleasure of Krishna. If we're not properly serving Vaishnavas, there is no possibility of really having a true taste for hearing and chanting. Raghunath Das Goswami, when he was living at Radhakund, his sadhana was like the lines in stone. Nothing could change them. Nothing could obstruct it. But part of his sadhana, what he would offer obeisances to 1,000 devotees every day, minimum. Now, this is something quite supernatural to conceive of, because 450 years ago, how many Vaishnavas lived at Radhakund? It wasn't even excavated. It was just a little pond in a paddy field. Nobody knew it existed. Lord Chaitanya discovered it. The Goswamis, they were living in Vrindavan. Sometimes they would come and visit. But still, there was no obstacle. Even if there was no one around, Raghunath Das Goswami would still offer his obeisances to minimum 1,000, his prostrated obeisances, Vaishnavas every day. He would do it. Whether it was in his mind, whether he'd go from village to village, whether he'd see one Vaishnava and offer 1,000 times. This is not explained in detail. I don't want to use the word speculating, but I'm just imagining. But this was his bhava. This was his love. This was his feeling. Because he knew that this was so foundational in his service to the Lord. And when we read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful pastimes with his devotees in Puri, that is what we find. This enthusiasm to serve one another, this enthusiasm to take shelter of the holy name, to take shelter of Harikatha, to take shelter of the darshan of Jagannath, to take shelter of Mahaprasad, and every aspect of devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya, he taught by his example how the Vaishnav community could be so united with love and affection when Krishna is in the center. Everything Lord Chaitanya did with his devotees in Puri, Jagannath was in the center. Every morning, very early, he would go to Jagannath's temple, and all his devotees would come with him. And he would stand behind or beside the Garuda Stamba for hours and hours, from the early morning aarti to the Upala Bhoga. And then he would come out after getting prasad to be with Haridas Thakur. He'd take his bath in the sea, and later on he would go to Tota Gopinath temple and for several hours would sit with Gadadhar Pandit to recite and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. He would call his devotees from Bengal to come. They would celebrate Ratha Yatra. He would celebrate Snan Yatra. Everything was around Krishna.